الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. بل الإنسان على نفسه بصيرة ولو ألقى معاذيره. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Alhamdulillah, we came back from Umrah a few days ago, and the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with the opportunity to spend some time with the company of our Shaykh. And it's always a very interesting experience when a person is in the company of their Shaykh, for a number of reasons. Because one person gets to learn so much, the nitty-gritty details of our deen, of Sharia, of Sunnah, and sometimes also there are many things which a person learns from the books of Shaykh, and then when you're actually in the company of your Shaykh, you get to practically witness and experience the reality of those teachings. So this time, as in the number of episodes, number of lessons which inshallah the course of next few weeks we will try to share them with you, things which we ourselves learned and which we ourselves want to remind ourselves and to you also. But there's one thing which continuously stuck with us throughout this journey, even before we departed for this journey for Umrah. We were thinking about this term, this concept in our deen, this concept in suluk, which is known as Deed-e-Kusur. Deed-e-Kusur. It's a term, it's an istilahi term which was first used by Imam Rabbani Mujaddid al-Fisani Ramtalaleh in one of his maktubat. And Deed-e-Kusur, it actually comes from Persian. It's a Persian word, which means, Deed means vision. Deed means to look, to gaze. And Kusur means to gaze at a person's own faults. Kusur means faults or defects or flaws or errors or blemishes or defects or weaknesses a person has. And the idea here, that the concept which is being encapsulated by this word, by these two words, is that a person, a salik, should always have his gaze, should always have his vision on his own self, on his own flaws, on his own faults, and on his own defects and weaknesses. And this is something which was used by Imam Rabbani Rahmatullah for the first time in his Maktubat. And the term itself is actually telling us how important this thing, how important this term itself is, how important the meanings of this term are, and how important the concept itself is. That for a person wants to seek his own islah, a person wants to rectify his own self, then it's very important that his gaze be fixated upon his own faults. That is why our mashayikh, they have written that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with someone, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy with someone, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows that person his faults, opens the faults of that person before his own eyes, displays his defects to him. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is angry with someone, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conceals the faults for that person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hides the defects from that person, so that a person thinks that he has no faults, he has no sins. But actually the faults and sins are there, but he's not able to see them. Shaitan beautifies his actions. Shaitan beautifies his mind so that he begins to see as if the mud is gold, begins to see that the fake is real, begins to see the artificial as real. And if you look and ponder on our condition, today's day and age, we are leading and living a life that we are so fixated on other people around us. We are continuously looking at them, we are counting the faults in other people, becoming the faults they have. And if only we can turn our gaze inwards, if only we can make that 180 degree shift and turn our eyes to what is inside our breast, what is inside our chest, what is inside our sudur, then we'll see how many faults, how many blemishes, how many defects and weaknesses are inside of us. And this actually is the real goal of the tasawwuf and suluk, and something which continuously hits us on this journey in many different ways. That when a person turns and takes this 180-degree shift, then he is able to see, he's able to make that real progress, he's able to make that real tarakki in his spirituality. And we are so busy looking at other people's souls that sometimes we don't have that time to diagnose ourselves, let alone going to the shaykh and getting the proper treatment done, let alone getting the cures and curing ourselves of those spiritual ailments and diseases. But we don't even have the time to diagnose our spiritual diseases. And the reason why, once again, we are so busy fixating other people, we are so busy looking at other people's faults. In fact, the gravest and the most dangerous disease, the most dangerous spiritual disease and ailment a person can get, is that a person doesn't even say that he has some disease. That a person doesn't even consider that there is some disease inside of himself. It is written about a famous Greek philosopher by the name of Plato, that someone asked him that what is the most dangerous disease? And he replied that the most dangerous disease is that which a person doesn't consider to be a disease. It's very simple to understand this, that when a person doesn't see his own flaws, then he doesn't have that worry. He doesn't have that worry to go get that treatment done. Or even if he gets the treatment, let's say, okay, fine, he sees the flaws and he gets that worry, he gets that treat, he wants to get the treatment done. But still, because he doesn't have that worry inside of himself, he doesn't see that urgency to get the treatment. He maybe will have the nuskha, maybe have, you know what the cure is, but he won't see the urgency to use that cure to treat himself. And the result will be that the diseases, or the disease will remain, or worse, that disease will spread, and it will spread so much that it may become, perhaps it become a habit, it become firmly ingrained in self, it become a firm little istikama on that disease. And eventually it will lead him astray, lead him to zalalat, become a cause of his gumrahi or her gumrahi. And really, as in, if you, and this is something which our mashayikh open up, the ways a shaitan deceives and deludes a person. That shaitan was that person, was the creature who didn't see any fault in himself. That's actually the core of shaitaniyat, that he had all the ibadah in himself. He had a lot of ilm, he had a lot of amal, he had a lot of amal salih, so much so that he did sajda on every corner, nook and corner of this earth. And so much ilm that he knew Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and marifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that even when he sinned, even when he refused to prostrate before Allah, still he has so much marifat that he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah grant me respite till the day of judgment. So he had marifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He had so much ibadah, the likeness of which, that he was considered to be like an angel, the usul malaika. But despite all his ilm, despite all his ibadah, despite all this marifat which he had, he didn't have tazkiyah. He wasn't able to purify himself of his spiritual ailments. And that is why he had a lot of takabbur in himself. He had a lot of takabbur in his ibadah. It was something which was deep inside of him. Deep, hidden, concealed kibr, arrogance, vanity, deceit, which he had himself. We call in Urdu khud pasandi, that he had this, he was happy with himself. And this ujub, self-love, self-praise, noticing his own sifats, noticing his own attributes. And because of that, when the order came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he had to prostrate to Adam alayhi salam, then all of that hidden emotions, that hidden deep concealed kibr and self-love, that came out. And he refused to prostrate because of those things. This actually is a shaitanic attribute, that a person does something grossly wrong but doesn't view it to be wrong. Why? Because shaitan beautifies his sin. Shaitan beautifies the sin of that person. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran, this ayah, that wa qayyazna lahum qurana'a. Wa qayyazna lahum qurana'a. That qurana means it's a jama, it's a plural of kareen. Means comrades or your friends, your deep, intimate friends. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wa qayyazna, that we have assigned them friends or comrades in this world. وَذَيَّنُوا لَهُمْ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ. And these friends made their present and their past self-seeming to them. مُزَيَّن before them. These friends, this shaitan, the Qurana here refers actually to shaitan, to the sati. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made musallat shaitan upon them. And this shaitan and his comrades, they made for that person his present and their past as if he's doing right. As if everything which he's doing is right. The shaitan beautifies the sin for such a person. And then the person reaches a stage that ghibat becomes a matter of fact and discussion. That I'm not indulging in ghibat, but I'm actually engaging in discussion. I'm just stating the matter of fact. A person comes and he wants to take bribery. And even offers excuses that no, I'm not taking bribery for my own self. I'm not taking rishwat for my own self. I have a wife, I have kids to feed, and for them I'm taking bribery. Person engages and indulges in unlawful gaze, looking at other people who I'm unlawful to look at. Thinks that it's just, it's permissible to look at my female cousin. I've been brought up with her, she's just like my sister. This is shaitan beautifying the sins of a person. Then when a person doesn't even consider that I have any faults in myself, when a person doesn't see those faults, doesn't see those weaknesses, doesn't see those flaws inside of him, then how will he or she repent? How will he or she make tawbah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places in fact a rishawa, a curtain over such people's eyes. Another place Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Quran, a wall, sadd, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ سَدًّا وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ سَدًّا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places a wall before them, a wall behind them, such that they're not able to see. This is the ultimate level, the ultimate when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places a muhar, a seal on their hearts. Why? Because they're rejecting the message of deen, they keep on denying the guidance which is coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even for religious people, so this was for people who are sinning, but even for religious people, shaitan also beautifies their aman. People think that, oh, I'm such an ibadat guzar person. I'm a person who's engaging in so much ibadah. I have istiqamah on my faraiz. I have istiqamah on my sunnah. I sometimes pray tahajjud. I engage in nawafil zikr, do a lot of muraqabah. And then when a person starts thinking, then this, eventually shaitan makes a person victim of khudpasanti. Once again, that same emotion of ujub, that self-praise, self-love, vanity, what you call in fancy English, narcissistic love. So he begins to view himself as something. Ujub literally means that a person views himself as something. It's irrelative, it's irrespective of other people. That you don't compare yourself with other people, just think about your own self, and you start to view yourself as something, that I am something. Me, myself, and I, this I comes in. May be kuch ho, this me, or I, or in Arabic which you call ana. This is the first step, ujub, that a person starts to view themselves as something or someone. And then second step is, then a person starts to view other people as lower than him. Or in other words, a person starts to view themselves as better than others. That's called kibr. That's relative. That's with respect to other people. And then third level is takabbur, where a person first was to view themselves as something, second was to view themselves as better than others, and third is to treat others as lower than you. That is takabbur. That you do something which shows that you're treating them treating other people as lower than you. This is a downward spiral that shaitan starts to beautify their amal, makes them a victim of this riya, of insincerity, of hypocrisy. Sometimes it happens that a shaitan makes a person too much engaged in dreams or lights or sounds, starts to think that I'm a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar Kabir. Creates riya in their ibadah, insincerity in their ibadah. They start off with the good intentions. A person, a believer, a mu'min, a salih, she starts off thinking that I have to pray for the sake of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then shaitan skillfully during the ibadah or perhaps after the ibadah, shaitan sometimes derails that person away, brings futur in the niyat of that person. That is why mashayikh stress that it's so important that a person should keep a watchful eye on their niyat all the time. Even when a person begins any action, he should first of all be conscious of his niyat. When a person is doing their ibadah, during the ibadah, also a person should try to recap and remind himself of the niyat that I'm doing this because of to gain the pleasure and for the sake of Allah's Father, to gain the pleasure of Allah's Father, the rida of Allah's Father. Then when the amal is done, when that action is done, person should once again offer that amal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah, whatever deficiency is left in this amal, whatever insincerity creeped in this amal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I seek forgiveness from you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I ask you to grant me the kamal reward, kamal ajr. Accept this, grant this amal kubuliyah. It's very important to have that constant gaze, to be vigilant about our niyat throughout our actions. Because this is another way in which shaitan beautifies our amal. Person begins to think of themselves, person begins to think of their good deeds. Allahu Akbar Kabir. And if a person looks at the life of our awliya, the true awliya of this ummah, the kamil awliya, and you look at their life, you'll notice this thing, the clear attribute in their life, that these people, they're always worried about their own state. Always worried. Always worried about their own faults, always worried about their own defects. It's as if their gaze is always upon inside of themselves, looking continuously, just be analyzing themselves from inside, lest they become a victim of their nafs, lest they become a victim of shaitan, lest they become a victim of the fancies and the colors of this dunya. Always vigilant about their state, by their spiritual state. Allahu Akbar Kabira. Even in the slightest of actions, they're so vigilant. It's written about Imam Rabbani, Mujaddid al-Tasani Ramtullah, he was considered to be the reviver, the renewer of Islam for the second millennium. That's why he's known as Imam Rabbani Mujaddid. The Mujaddid al-Tasani, he was the renewer, the Mujaddid of the second millennium. And he writes in his Maktubat that he takes an oath by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ki qasam, right? He takes an oath by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then he says that I look on my own spiritual state. I ponder and reflect on my own spiritual state and my condition, which I feel is that a kafir is better than me. Allahu Akbar. When I compare myself to a kafir, my spiritual diagnosis is such that I consider that kafir to be better than me. Allahu Akbar. This is called Deed-e-Kusur. To be so aware of a person's own faults and defects. And used to say that I think that for 20 years, perhaps the angel who is responsible for writing the good deeds, he hasn't written anything in the Naam-e-Amal. And for 20 years, I'm thinking that the angel who is responsible for writing the bad deeds, he has been writing continuously and persistently, is just continuously, just furiously writing and scribbling in my Naam-e-Amal. That's my spiritual state. That's what I'm thinking. That's how he used to think. Allahu Akbar. A And then he used to say one step further, that whatever nature, whatever good deeds which I have done, when I analyze them carefully, when I reflect upon my niyat in those good deeds, I think that those good deeds were actually my sins. Those good deeds are as if they're worthy of being written as my sins. Allahu Akbar. Because I didn't have that proper kafiyat in my good deeds. I didn't have that proper adab, the haqqa tuqati, the right which Allah Ta'ala had over me. I wasn't able to fulfill those rights. This is why it's mentioned that the good deeds of the armed people, the armed mu'mineen, the armed muslimin, their good deeds are considered to be sayyi'at according to the awliya. Sins according to the awliya. And then he mentioned in the same maktub that after saying all of these things, he said that I have only hope in the mercy of Allah SWT. I have no other hope in any of my amal, whatever I've done, whatever ibadah, whatever ilm which I have. He said, just imagine, this is the mujaddid of his time. And he's saying that I have no umid, I have no hope in any of my actions, in any of my amal, in any of my ilm. The only hope which I have is in the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the maghfirat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma maghfiratuka awsa'u min zunubi wa rahmatuka arja indi min amali. This is a dua which was taught by Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Ya Allah, that your maghfirat, that your forgiveness is more wasi', is more broad, is more large, is more wasi' than my sins. And Ya Allah, whatever actions which I have done, I have no hope whatsoever in my actions. All my hope, wa rahmatuka, all my hope is in your rahmah. Is in your rahmah. This is ajizi. This is humility of a mujaddid of his time. Allah Akbar. They used to consider their nakia, they used to consider their pious deeds as if they are sins. And if we consider our situation, Allah Akbar, we should make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Ya Allah grant us that gaze, that we can also look deep inside of us. We can also look into muhasabah of our good deeds. We can also do muhasabah of our bad deeds. So we can take ourselves into account before we are taken into account on the Day of Judgment. This is what we call Dide Kusur. This is what we call Etarasu Kusur also. That a person recognizes and a person says, first of all, a person recognizes the fault inside of themselves, and then a person says that yes, I am faulty, I am a sinner, I am a sinner, I am spiritually deficient, I am spiritually empty. And when a person views himself in such a manner, then Allah, he attracts the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He attracts the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This ajizi, this humility, this is something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves a lot. And on the other hand, if a person becomes mutakabbir, if a person becomes arrogant, if a person has self-praise, vanity, if a person has ujub, khud pasandi, then this person, it's almost at this path of tazkiyah, is blocked for that person. Because if a person has such emotions, then he won't have that worry to purify himself. This, in fact, this when a person looks at other people's faults, this, in fact, is the attribute of the fusaq. The fusaq, the fajr. People who are distant from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, people who are ghafil of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, people who are heedless of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's their attribute. And sadly, and the tragedy is, that really, if we make our comparison, that are we close to the attributes of the awliya, or are we close to the attributes of the fusaq and the fujar of this ummah? And our heart will say that yes, our state is that we are more close to the second category. We are more close to the attributes of the fusaq. We are always looking at other people's fault. We are saying crude and lewd and vulgar things with our tongue. Allahu Akbar. Sometimes we say that we want to do islah of other people. And when someone says that you just said such a vulgar thing with your tongue, you say, no, 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 I didn't say anything with my tongue. They refuse it. When we cannot even hear what we are saying with our own tongue, then how can we expect other people to hear what we are saying? So busy criticizing other people for their faults. You should always remember that to become a Muslim is easy. That to become a person who wants to do Islah of others, that's actually easy. But to become a person who is Salih, that is very difficult. There are two words, Muslih and Salih. Muslih is that person who wants to rectify other people. That is easy. But to become a person who himself is rectified, that is Salih, that is very difficult. Everyone today wants to become a Sheikh. Everyone wants to become a Muslim, doing tarbiyat of others, doing Islam of others. That's very easy to do. But doing your own Islam, being worried about your own tarbiyat, being worried about your own rectification, about your own purification of your qalb, about your own taharat, about your own tazkiyah, that is very difficult. Very difficult. That's why we say in English that you should change your own self before changing others. There's a hakikat in this. There's a hakikat hidden in this. That when a person is able to change themselves and then he gives some dawah, then he gives some nasihat to others, that nasihat will have more of an effect. Will have more of an effect, yes? That's actually one of the habits of our mashayikh. That when they wanted to give nasihat to other people, they would first work on their own self. They would change their own habits first, and then they would do nasihat. It's written about Imam Azam, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayh, that once a woman brought her son to the Imam and said that, please stop my son from eating this sweet. And Imam Azam said that, okay, bring your child tomorrow. So the lady, she brought the child again tomorrow, and the Imam explained to the child that, okay, you shouldn't have this sweet, and he gave nasihat. So the woman, when she was about to leave, a thought came to her mind. And she said, and approached the Imam, and said that, Imam, this nasihat which you just did today, you could have also done this nasihat yesterday also. So what's the maslihat in this? And the Imam then said that, yes, I could have done the same thing yesterday also, but yesterday actually I myself took that same sweet. I myself ate that same sweet. So how is it possible that I myself ate that sweet and then I'm doing nasihat to your son that you shouldn't eat that sweet? But today I didn't take that sweet and hence I was able to make that nasihat to your child. So our akabreen, they were so careful that first they used to do amal themselves and then they used to say anything with their tongue. Why? Because that's why they used to be asr in their conversation, in their nasiha. That is why our akabreen and the sahaba ikram used to make this dua. It's mentioned by Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He used to make this dua that Allahumma ja'alni, that oh Allah, make me. Allahumma ja'alni fi ayni saghiran, that oh Allah, make me small in my own eyes. Saghir, make me little in my own eyes. Wa fi ayunin nasi kabira, and make me big in the eyes of others. Subhanallah, such a beautiful dua. Allahumma ja'alni fi ayni saghira wa fi ayunin nasi kabira, that oh Allah, make me small in my own eyes and make me big in the eyes of other people. What does this dua mean? This means that to become small in our own eyes means that, Ya Allah, open the faults before me. Make the faults which I have, make them clear. Make them evident. Make them apparent. Why? So that I know my rank. They call in Urdu, so that I know my haqiqat, so that I know my awqat, so that I know my lowliness, so that I know my dependence on you, my faqr on you, my rank as faqir. Fuqara ila Allah, antumul fuqara'u ila Allah, that all of you are needy and dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That I can experience this faqir, this feeling of being dependent and needy towards you. Why? So that I can have that tawazu inside of me. I can have that humility inside of me. That there isn't any other ujub or takabbur or vanity or arrogance inside of me. There's no khud pasandi inside of me. SubhanAllah, such a beautiful dua. And the next part, that Ya Allah, make me big in the eyes of other people. Why? So that when others will view me as big, then they will have some love for me. They will have respect in their hearts for me. They will listen to me out of that love and respect. They will place value in my words. They will give significance to my nasihat. So that when I will do some work of dawah, when I will call them towards deen, when I'll do some nasiha, they can happily accept it. This is a beautiful dua which we should try to make. Allahumma ja'alni fi ayni saghiran wa fi ayunin nasi kabira. That is the reason why our Akabreen used to make this dua, that Ya Allah, make our zahir according to the batin. Remove this do rangi from inside of ourselves. This do rangi. This multiplicity in our life, this hypocrisy in our life, remove that multiplicity. These multiple colors and multiple garbs which we adorn ourselves with. When we are with our religious friends, when we have one sort of lifestyle, when we are in khalwat, when we are alone, then we make shaitan our khalil, make shaitan our friend. We are committing all sorts of vulgar sins in khalwat. In fact, my shaykh have written that khalwat ke guna are more grave than jalbat ke guna. What does that mean? That means that when a person sins in khalwat, those sins are more grave and more dangerous in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than those sins which a person commits in open gathering. Why? Because in open gathering, sometimes a person is able to restrain himself. Perhaps maybe what other people might think. But in khalwat, that's the true test. When it's just between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's a pure relationship between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching you. You know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you. You know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what you're thinking, knows what you're looking at, knows what you're doing. And still, if you commit those sins in khalwat, then that means that you have belittled Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you value other people, you value the company of your friends more than you value the company of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wow. That's why we should be very careful to make or to leave those guna, to leave those sins which we do in our khalwat, which we do in our isolation when we are alone. In fact, that's one of the signs signs of the munafiq, which mentioned about the munafiqeen, those hypocrite people. And all of us know the ayah in Quran, that what's the maqam, what's the injam of those munafiqeen? Asfali minan nar, dalkal asfali minan nar. It'll be in the lowest ebb of Jahannam. That's the maqam, that's the place for the hypocrites. Hypocrites, those people, the outside is different from the inside. That's why Akabreen used to make this dua, that Ya Allah, grant us that yakharangi, grant us that one color, that Sibghatullah, which is mentioned in Quran, the color of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Akbar, this mentioned, sometimes we should make this dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Ya Allah, grant us that Sibghatullah, your color, the color of deen. Grant us those feelings of deen, those feelings of being Rabbaniyun, the Rabwala, that person who is Allah wala. Grant us that color, those feelings, those tastes, those colors of being an Allah wala. Sibghatullah. Literally, Sibgha means color. The color of Allah. That's why we are told in Quran تتبع ملة إبراهيم حنيفة, that to ittiba, follow the millat Ibrahimi. It's not just follow the teachings of Ibrahim alayhi salam, or follow the words of Ibrahim alayhi salam. No, it's the millat. It's millat, it's a very comprehensive word, it's a lifestyle. Follow the millat, the lifestyle, the color, the demeanor, the actions, the mannerism, the teachings, all of that. That's the millat Ibrahimi. Follow the footsteps of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. Whatever the Tawheed Khalis that Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam had, Allahu Akbar, no hidden shirk, completely pure heart. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, one of the great attributes of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, which we should sometimes make dua by invoking this nisbat with Ibrahim alayhi salam, is that Ya Allah, that same Tawheed Khalis which you granted to Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, Ya Allah, also grant us also that same Tawheed Khalis, same pure Tawheed which he had, that he broke all the idols in the Khane Kaaba, that story which is mentioned in Quran, that he broke all the idols, that Ya Allah, just as he broke all the idols, the physical idols, Ya Allah, grant us the Tawfiq that we can also break the idols which are inside of ourselves, those idols which are inside of our thoughts, those idols which are inside of our hearts. Ya Allah, grant us tawfiq to break away all those idols, to break down all those idols in our hearts and in our minds. Grant us complete detachment from that shirk-e khafi and shirk-e jali. Grant us the maqam-e Ibrahim. Make us such that we can follow the millat-e Ibrahimi by granting that pure and khalis tawheed. And also another, that Ya Allah, grant us the munib qalb. That munib qalb. That qalb, that heart, that spiritual heart which attaches itself with you. Which attaches itself with you, which has some relationship with you, which yearns for you, which desires you. This is another attribute of Millat Ibrahimi that Sayyidina Ibrahim al-Islam mentioned in Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him Awahun Munir. That he was Awahun. He used to cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he used to yearn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Munib, he had a heart which used to attach itself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should make this dua also, that Ya Allah, grant us a heart which is attached only and only to you. We don't want any alsos in our life. We just want only you. That's it. No also. Udkhulu fi salmi kaffa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran, to enter the deen completely, totally, entirely. Enter the deen, enter the entirety of deen completely. That's what this ayah is saying. You should completely, totally, entirely enter the entire of deen. Not just step one step forward, perhaps tentatively one step and then taking, thinking and then double checking and double analyzing all our situation, no? Udkhulu fi silmi kaffa. This is what our mashayikh teach, actually. These are the teachings, these are the du'as we should try to make. That's why mashayikh used to say that you should try, you should display and show yourself to others as you really are. Whatever you really are, you should display and present and show to others what you really are. Otherwise, become like what you display to others. Become like what you display to others. In other words, remove your hypocrisy. Make your outward like your inward. If you're not able to make your outward like your inward, then what you are from your outside, make yourself the same way from your inside. This is removing that do rangi, making that yak rangi, getting that one color, becoming true and mukhlis in our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are certain ways our mashayikh has mentioned a person can recognize our faults. A person can recognize his faults. We can get this blessing of Dide Kusur. And the number one way to get this blessing of Dide Kusur is to be in the company of a Shaykh-e Kamil. To be in the company, to be under the watchful gaze, to be under the gaze and watch of a Shaykh. Jo taluk hota hai sheikh ke saath, this relationship which a person has with sheikh, It's actually a relationship of Islah. A relationship of Islah. To rectify and correct us. It's not to see some ilham, not to see some karamat, not to see some vision, not to see some miracle happening in the hands of Shaykh, no. Salik is that person who presents himself or who presents herself with this niyat of Islam for Shaykh. That I want to rectify my nafs. And then Shaykh, sometimes with the love and affection, and sometimes with the admonition and doubt and dapat, and with scolding, he will identify the faults in the Salik. Yes, dono cheezen hoti. Garmi bhi hoti hai, sardi bhi hoti. Sometimes it's the warmth. It's the warmness which does the trick. And sometimes it's the coldness which does the trick. That's why you see in our own silsila, our own Hazaji, he has to both dharam. You'll see sometimes he does identify the fault in the tarbiyat in a very loving and affectionate manner. And sometimes he also scolds a person, admonishes a person, downifies a person. Both these things are needed. So they'll help a person, the Shaykh will help the person identify the faults in the Salik. And then also, not just identifying the faults, second step is then guiding the person, guiding the Salik how to remove those faults. It's not just criticizing, demeaning the other person, no. Actually, the actual goal, the actual real purpose is to provide a way out. Provide a way out. And then the Shaykh also makes du'as, maybe otta. Make lots of du'as, long du'as for the students, the salikin, at the hajj time, at different occasions, at different places. That Ya Allah, save him, save her from those sins. And because of all these steps, the final, the goal, the result is that those du'as cried with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, cried to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with ikhlas, they attract the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the path smooth for that person. The person is drowning, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah brings him out. See, a taluk, it's a rok tok ka taluk. Rok tok. The closer a person is to his shaykh, more the rok tok, more the dot. Sometimes this scolding happens when a person is alone. Sometimes it happens before others. Sometimes there is anger, sometimes there is love from the shaykh. But the, both these things, anger and love, both of them are for the sake of Allah's Father, for the sake of Islam of the Salik. Allahu Akbar, on this trip, personally, as in, we got to see both sides of our own Shaykh, Hazraji. Saw the love of Hazraji, how Hazraji used love to do Islam for the people. And we also saw how Hazraji used his gold minute or dot, his robe to do Islam for the people. Once Hazraji, we had an opportunity, alhamdulillah, to do some khidmat of Hazraji. And Hazraji, while we were doing some khidmat, Hazraji said that this khidmat, another name for the khidmat is dot. Another name of doing khidmat is dot. What he meant by this was that this, when a person does a khidmat, when a person is engaged in some activity of deen, this nafs takes over. And once again, same feelings, a person feels that, oh, I'm doing such a big amal, I'm doing so much khidmat, he feels that I'm something. I am something. Right? Even this word, I'm a khadim of my shaykh, I'm doing khidmat for my shaykh, but I'm doing khidmat for my deen, ye bhi ek ujub aa jata. The person views himself at the maqam ajat, that it's a rank, he starts to feel happy in this. That's why the cure for this is that sometimes the shaykh then tries to bring tawazu, humility in that person. Calls that person, admonishes that person, approaches that person so that the nafs tames down. It happened on this khair. Just one personal story that we had to present on the trip, on this Umrah trip. It so happened that our luggage, we had two suitcases, and one of the suitcases just managed to go in with luggage of Hazraji. And when we reached at the airport, Abhiji had to leave the airport very quickly. And us tak we just thought that it's khilaf-e adab that we go and maneuver with Abhiji's luggage and try to take our luggage out. Because Abhiji, mashallah, if I travel with his own family, there are many suitcases. So it will take a lot of time in order trying to identify our suitcase and then take our suitcase out. So we thought that it'll be very, Abhiji will have to wait, Abhiji's family will have to wait, and it'll be khilaf-e adab. So we just thought that it's better that we'll just let our suitcase go with Hazrat's luggage, and then when inshallah Hazrat will reach Makkah Mukarramah, there in the hotel, when everything will be sorted out, there inshallah we can ask one of the person, one of the helpers of Hazrat, that oh, that that's one of our suitcases, and if you can just try to bring that suitcase so that we can take it to our own hotels. So here at the airport, we didn't create a ruckus, we just let our suitcase go. Here it so happened that when we reached Makkah Mukarramah, so once we in the Ihram, we did Umrah, we took off our Ihram, and next day Hazrat called us and said that we want to, there was some file which Hazrat wanted to see, some documents, some file which Hazrat was working on, and Hazrat said that bring your laptop and I want to see that file which you're working on. And when we opened our luggage, so it just happened that the laptop was with us, but the charger was in that other, was in that other suitcase, which was with Hazaji. And we called Hazaji and said that Hazaji, the laptop's battery is very low, and we just made a mistake that our charger is in another suitcase, and then that other suitcase is with you, and there'll be some delay, and that other suitcase was actually in the room of the Hazaji's family, and they were sleeping at that time, and Hazrat actually wanted to work there, not there and then. So, kaam to nahi ho sakta tha. So, we were also feeling bad that we wish we had the charger with us. We apologized to Hazrat, we're sorry, then galti ho gayi. And then Hazrat said that, no, aapse ek galti nahi hui, aapse kai galti hui. And he said in a very firm, very raw kisah, Hazrat said that. But you haven't made one error, you have made multiple errors. He then explained that when you were at the airport, you should have made a ruckus, you should have said that that's my suitcase, I want my suitcase. You have made a galti kari, that's your mistake on your part. But you should have taken your suitcase right there at the airport. And then, that's one mistake which you made. And then, second mistake, that after Fajr, when you were done with Umrah, Skibad, still my family was up, so Hazrat's family sleeps after Fajr. After Ishraq, they pray and then they sleep. So between Fajr and Ishraq, we had like good 2 hours. So Usambi, there was an opportunity where I could, if I want, I could have gone to the other room and I could have tried to bring my luggage, bring my suitcase out. But Usambi, I didn't take that initiative. Prayer, that was the second mistake that Hazrat pointed out. That opportunity which you had, the 2 hours which you had, why didn't you take that opportunity? You should have asked someone, you should have said that my suitcase is in the other room. I want my suitcase. So khair, isn't the motive, the purpose of sharing this story was that sometimes Hazrat does tarbiyat. And if you know Hazrat's, if you've only seen Hazrat's love and affection, then wait till you see Hazrat Ji's dart and dapat. Allahu Akbar. And I'll tell you, sometimes jo islah hoti hai through dart and through scolding, that's way more efficient than that islah which is done through muhabbat and love and affection. Yes, that's a fact. That's a fact. Because our nafs is very, bahut mota nafs. It's very strong, very, it's very hard to defeat our nafs. And sometimes love and affection, it's not able to defeat our nafs. It's only the doubt of a sheikh which can defeat our nafs, which can deflate our nafs. As a person should try to be in the company of a sheikh, the more and more a person tries to be in the company of a sheikh, more and more a person tries to maintain their rabata with sheikh, have that strong rabata, where he opens himself up before his sheikh, He opens his life before his sheikh, and the sheikh can see how his life is proceeding, how her life is proceeding, and then he can advise him accordingly. He can identify those faults. He can help that person. This is that fault. This is your fault. Work on this fault. Work on this sin. Try to remove this sin. Maybe he can advise different ways how to person can remove that sin. But today's situation is completely opposite. People don't come close to the sheikh. He'll scold me, he'll reproach me. It's a difficult situation. It's a different situation. A patient, if he's making every effort so that the doctor doesn't know about his illness, then even if he's successful, whose loss it is? Whose loss is it? It's the patient's loss. Rather, the patient should open his faults. He should tell the doctor so that the treatment can be done. Really, the best way in this day and age to identify one's fault is through the company of the sheikh. Have that strong rabta with the sheikh. Second way is that a person should make this dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Daily dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And do muhasabah. So we mentioned this also. Daily dua and muhasabah. We should do this daily. That Ya Allah, first of all making dua, that Ya Allah, whatever faults, we are not able to see our faults. But Ya Allah, we make dua to you, that Ya Allah, open up our faults before our eyes. Make them clear before us. Make them evident, make them apparent to us. And then do muhasabah. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala used to say that hasibu qabla an tuhasabu, that you should do muhasabah, you should take yourself into account before you yourself are taken into account. You should do our muhasabah ourselves. Khud karna chahiye. Once there was an alim by the name of Hazrat Khwaja Burhanuddin rahmatullah alayh. And another alim came and gave bayah to Hazrat Khwaja Burhanuddin rahmatullah alayh. And he said that, O Hazrat, the more and more I try to remove the faults from my nafs, the more and more other faults open up before me. Other defects, other weaknesses, other flaws open up before me. And then the Shaykh replied that this actually is a sign of a Kamil Mu'min, of a perfect Mu'min. This is precisely the sign of a Kamil Mu'min. That more and more a person tries to remove faults, the more and more, one by one, a person tries to remove faults from themselves, from their nafs, from their qalb, from their heart, another set of faults open up before him. Allah. This actually is the objective of the tasawwuf and suluk. Khulasa, the summary of suluk and summary of the tasawwuf and tazkiyah is this, that all this effort and mehnat which is required, this daily regimen of dhikr and muraqabah, this daily tasbihat, the purpose, the lubbe labab, is that the faults of a salik become apparent to that person. So that he can cure himself, so that she can cure herself of these spiritual ailments, of these spiritual diseases. To leave every last drop of sin. How come? Because he or she will view herself as a sinner, she'll view herself as a lowly person, she'll view herself as spiritually poor, as spiritually needy, as spiritually deficient, and hence there will be softness in her heart. There will be softness in his temperament. There will be softness in her manner. There will be softness in his akhlaq. And because of this softness, his akhlaq, his mannerism, his mizaj will improve. His tabiat will improve automatically. Yes, this will happen. That's why our mashayikh teach muraqabah. They teach muraqabah on different portions of a person's ruh. Different portions, different latifs. Right? Because every latifah of ruh has some chronic spiritual ailment associated with it. And when a person does muraqabah on that particular latifah, then that latifah, that ruh becomes munawwar with the noor of zikr. And that disease, once that latifah becomes munawwar with the noor of zikr, that spiritual disease is cured. Allah. For example, when a person does muraqabah on latifah qalb, which is the first reason, right, to do muraqabah and latifah, because then this removes the shahwat, the spiritual disease of shahwat. Second, when a person does muraqabah on ruh, this removes the anger, ghussa, this removes hasad, jealousy. Likewise, when a person does muraqabah on sir, this removes bukhul and stinginess from that person. When a person does muraqabah on a khafi, then this removes the greed and tamah and lalish from that person. When a person does muraqabah on their akhfa, this removes the takabur and kibr and ujur from that person. Allah Akbar. Becomes so easy. This path of suluk becomes so easy. The person does that mihnat, puts in that required effort, does that muraqabah, he'll see the improvement within him. Literally, he'll see the improvement with his own eyes. He'll become a person who will view everyone else as better than him. And he'll view himself or herself as the lowliest. This is the nature, the summary of the server. To view ourselves as the lowliest. That is why our mashayikh have written that we should view ourselves as the lowliest, right? And they make comparisons to different types, different categories of people. So let's do this also, right? And we'll end with this. How can we view ourselves as the lowliest of all? The first is that to view ourselves as lowly than people who are younger than us. And this is very easy to understand. That whenever we see someone who is younger than us, we should think that this person has committed less sins than me. I have committed much more sins than this person, hence this person is better than me. Then next, if the person sees someone is older than him, then once again, we should view that older person as better than him. How? Because this person has had more opportunities to do ibadah, has had more opportunities to do actions which are pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hence, he is better than me. Another point, when a person should meet an alim, when a person sees an alim, you should view that alim or that knowledgeable person or that scholar to be better than him. Right? Obviously, alim is a person of deen. He has more knowledge than me, he's better than me. But one step further, if a person meets someone who is bay-amal, who is a jahil, right? Who has no knowledge of deen, who is completely jahil, still a person should view such is that person also as better than him. Allah. Why is that? Because we should think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may have given us the ilm, and still, if you're not able to amal on that ilm, that this ilm will become a hujjat upon us on the Day of Judgment. That ilm which does not lead towards amal, that ilm will become a hujjat upon us. And then our azab, our punishment will be more grave than that other person who didn't even get the ilm in the first place. Hence we should view that jahil also is better than us. We should view a fasiq, another point, a fasiq, fajr person, a person who engages in gunai kabira, is better than us. Allah. Maybe our nafs won't take this. Our nafs will be crying, will be shouting at us. That how can you view such a person as better than you? You are surely better than this person who commits a kabira sin. Major sins. But our mashayikh have written that no, you should consider yourself to be lowly than him. And why is that? Because Shariat says, Allah Ta'ala says in Quran, that when a person makes true tawbah, then ulaika yubaddilullahu sayyi'atihim hasana. That Allah Ta'ala will transform, will change their guna, will change their sins into amalu salih, into good deeds, into pious deeds. Allah Akbar. And so the chance is there, the chance remains that this person fell off. Maybe he might be a murtakib of kabira guna. But if that person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, grants him tawfiq to make that true tawbah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can transform all his bad deeds into good deeds. And then he'll become much better than us. Hence he's better than us. We should view him as better than us. But our Mashayikh and Tehli have taken this one step even further. They have written that a person should even consider a kafir to be better than him. Now this is very difficult to understand initially. That how can a kafir be better than us? At least we have this nafs-e-iman, this blessing of iman side of us. How can a kafir be better than a person of iman? But Imam Rabbani Rahmatullah has written in his maktubat that yes, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person cannot get the qurb of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala till he considers a kafir to be better than him. Allah. And then once the person asked Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah that how can you explain this statement of Imam Rabbani Rahmatullah? And Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah explained this, that yes, this is absolutely 100% correct, that a person cannot get the qurb of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala till he views himself or herself as lowly than that kafir. And he said the reason for that is that innama al-amalu bil-khawateen, that actions are judged by their ikhtitam, by their endings. And there's always a possibility that this person who is a kafir right now doesn't have the name of the iman, but there's a possibility that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might give him the tawfiq to accept the kalama, to become a person of iman. And if that person accepts iman, then all his previous life, whatever sins, whatever kufr which he did, all of that will come to zero. All of that will be completely wiped away. Al-Islam yahtum min kana qablahu. Whatever guna, whatever sins which we did prior to accepting Islam, all those sins will be completely wiped away. And hence that person will be like a newborn baby. He'll be much better than you and me, who have sinned our entire life. So now this becomes easy to understand, that a person should view a kafir also as better than. And then the last Allah Akbar, he took it, Imam Rabbani Rahmatullah, he took it one step further. And he said, Ajeeb Baat, that a person should consider a dog to be better than him. Ye hota hai nafs pe ragda lagana. Our nafs will never accept this. But our mashayikh, this is the way they do tarbiyah. This is the way they used to think. It's not just teaching them, this is the way they used to experience this. This is the reality which they used to live in their own personal life. That they used to consider themselves to be lowly, to be worse than a dog. Allah. And the way they used to explain this is as following, that a dog is more loyal to their master. If you look at the relationship between a dog and his master, your heart will do gavri. Your heart will testify that yes, the dog is a very loyal animal, very loyal, and we are not that loyal to our master. Look at a dog, he will never leave the doorstep of his master. The master might hit him, master might not beat him, master might just stop him. Still, the dog will come back at the door of his master. Every time the master hits him, the dog will still come back. Master can starve him, the dog will still sit at the dasturkhan waiting patiently for the master to perhaps give some bone to him, throw some bone at him. And you compare that to the hal of a mu'min. Mu'min ka hal, a little bit of musibat in his karabar, a little bit of musibat in his world, in his business, in his ties, and he's able to, he leaves the door of the masjid. He leaves the door of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For 1 month they're away from Salah. Allah. What happened? We had some financial difficulty. Once that financial difficulty is removed, then I'll come to the masjid. Then if we do that comparison, then the dog is actually better than us. It was good to Juta Parta and the master hits him, and yet that dog comes back to the master. So this is the last thing, and this I'll just end with this another point, which Alhamdulillah our Shaykh opened this up this time. Okay, whenever, and this is something which you also experienced, that whenever a person sets the company of their sheikh, then the sheikh makes that person badkumar of their own self. This is one of the big blessings of being in the company of a sheikh. When you're alone, your nafs takes over and you consider yourself to be a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you have all these good emotions, good feelings, khush fahmi, khud pasandi, these emotions of I'm something, me, myself and I. You view yourself as something, you view yourself as being better than others. A whole set of emotions come when you're alone in isolation. But the second you enter the company of your sheikh, sometimes we give the example, how do you explain the company of a sheikh? It's very simple, that you have a dirty shoe and you have a white polished shining shoe. And when sometimes it happens with kids also, that a kid, he has a very dirty shoe. I mean, he goes to school and he sees someone who's wearing a white, new, brand new, polished, white, shining shoe. And he looks at his own shoe and then he realizes that, oh, the shoe which I'm wearing, it's so dirty compared to his shoe. That is the real shoe. That is the new shoe. That is the shoe which I really want my shoe to be. That is what I want to get. Similarly, when a person goes in the company of his sheikh, sits in the company of his sheikh, listens to their nasihat, listens to their words, then a person feels that feeling in their heart. That, oh, whatever life which I am leading right now, it's so empty, it's so deficient. There are so many flaws and faults inside of me. There's so many deficiencies and weaknesses inside of me. All those ibadah, all those good deeds which I used to think that these are good deeds. Actually, when I ponder over my good deeds, they're so deficient. There's so much riya, there's so much hypocrisy and insincerity, even in the good deeds which I do, even in the bad actions. This is one of the greatest blessings which a person gets by being in the company of the sheikh, by having that strong rabita in the sheikh. That a person starts to become badkuman of their own self, as opposed to becoming badkuman but other people. That's me and you, right? We become, at the slightest opportunity, small thing happens and become badkuman about other people. We start to have misgivings about other people. We have shak and shubhat about other people. No. When a person sits in the company of sheikh, person starts to have shak and shubhat about their own nafs. Person becomes badkuman about their own nafs. So this is what when another famous poet interpreted by Sheikh Saadi Rahmatullah, Khairat Sinfasi, he used to say that if you want to understand tasawwuf, if you want to understand marifat, then marifat can be understood simply just two phrases. In two phrases, we can completely capture the entirety of marifat. And those two phrases are, number one, that you should, it's Khairat Sinfasi, that you should, when it comes to other people, you should be, never be badabeen. Badabeen means that you should never hold any grudge against them. You should never ever think lowly about other people. You should never ever think ill of other people. And when you think about your own self, you should never be content with your own nafs. That's it. Two things. If a person can understand and realize the importance of these two things, and if a person can experience these two things and try to work on himself, try to bring these two things in their life, then he'll be able to understand the entire of the tasawwuf and suluk. He can get that entire of marifat. That dusron ki upar badbeen na hona. Then when it comes to other, never become badkuman. Never think ill of other people. Never try to zoom in on other people's fault. Never even try to search for faults in other people. And second, never become content with your own nafs. Never become happy with your own nafs. Never become pleased with your own nafs. Rather, become always become wide. Always be wide. Always be watch out on your own nafs. Always zooming. Try to zoom in on the faults inside of ourselves. Always trying to take ourselves into account. For the spiritual disease inside of ourselves. always trying to take those diseases into account. So we make dua, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable all of us to become such people who can view our faults. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove those layers of khishava from ourselves, that we can view the faults inside of ourselves. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make those faults and flaws and deficiencies and weaknesses apparent for ourselves. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove those covers from our eyes. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove those covers from our hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us such that we can view ourselves as the most lowly. We can view ourselves as the most lowliest of all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us such that we can view others as better than ourselves. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us such that we can view other people as better than ourselves. Allahumma ja'alni fi ayuni nasi saghira. Allahumma ja'alni fi ayuni saghira wa ayuni nasi kabira. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim. وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. آمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. آمين.